This podcast is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds, all online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10.
Should have fallen in love with old Cape Cod.
Nothing gets you going in the morning like a good cup of Joe and a little Howie Carr, right?
Hey, paperboy.
We love Howie Carr, right?
I was referred to today as 1970s Boston.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Live from the Mid-Cape Command, it's Howie Carr.
You're sure to fall in love with old Cape Cod.
It's a busy day in the market basket struggle. The Market Basket Board of Directors today sought a restraining order against Joe Schmidt and Tom Gordon, who've been on the show multiple times, after they alleged Schmidt had broken into the grocery store's Tewksbury headquarters, and the pair had repeatedly visited Market Basket locations. And they also sent the Golden Girls, the three sisters who control 60% of the stock. Their lawyer sent a stern warning to sideline chief executive Arthur T. Demoulas today, accusing him of orchestrating a PR campaign aimed at ratcheting up, quote-unquote, public vitriol against the board and the majority stockholders, the Golden Girls, Arthur T. Demoulas' three sisters. Now, we are joined. They're in the studio, my studio in Boston, Needham. Two of the Arthur T. Demoulas loyalists, and you can watch them. Go to rumble.com/The Howie Carr Show, rumble.com/The Howie Carr Show, and you can see Valerie Polito. She's the director of advertising at Market Basket, still on the payroll, and Paul Quigley, the former Market Basket district supervisor. This is Paul Quigley, number one. Not the one that they confused him with down in Centerville, and they sent a letter telling him he was suspended. That was a different one. So anyway, they're here today to talk about what's going on. And I'm going to start with you, Valerie Polito. Are you still on the payroll?
Yes, Avi, I am. Yes.
And by the way, you were great. We had a book tour. We went to a bunch of market baskets a few years back.
Yes.
And you always were great for us.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much for having us today.
And the market basket manager and I, we're not just shoppers, but we support Arthur T. And everybody's always been great to us, and just like all the customers. And we feel like we have a stake in this. So I'm just wondering, when you spoke out last week and talked about what was once a culture grounded in mutual respect, integrity, and accountability has in recent months devolved into one defined by fear, hostility, and lack of direction, what was the response from the Golden Girls and their minions?
Well, as far as the board goes, because I don't talk to the sisters directly, I would only talk to the board, or I would respond to the board, is that we had an actual meeting that was set up. And after that talk I had on Thursday with the media, the meeting has now been abolished. So we're not having that meeting on the 21st now.
Well, in the letter you sent, you said one worker brought a knife to the office. What was that all about?
That was a picture was provided to me, and I was I was taken by it myself, and I work with workplace safety, and so that was part of the hostile work environment that people are subject to see. Walking by someone's office, seeing that on someone's desk, it's not something that is of market basket culture. You know, we're told not to, you know, have any type of device like that at in the workplace, corporate office or store level. So for someone to see that, obviously they felt very intimidated by it.
Paul Quigley, do you ever see a knife? All the years you worked at Market Basket, do you ever see anybody, a supervisor, with a knife on his desk?
Not until I saw that, Howie. Again, it just goes to show you that the culture has is evaporating. You've got a board of director who called me out the last time I was on your show saying that the culture was vibrant, and he couldn't be any further from the truth. You know, we have people that have genuine concerns about that office, and they cancel the meeting. I mean, this is, Valerie handles harassment in our office. She knows what the procedure should be, and they're just blatantly not going to follow it.
And are you still on the payroll? Are you suspended? Or are you fired now?
Myself, I'm suspended till September 30th on the payroll.
Wow. So what do you make of either Paul or Valerie? What do you make of this restraining order that the Golden Girls board is directors is seeking against Joe Schmidt and Tom Gordon, claiming they broke in? What do you think of that, Valerie?
I think it's frivolous. I think that Mr. Schmidt and Mr. Gordon have worked with the company for an obscene amount of years. Know a lot of people within the company who respect them as they respect all the workers out there, and they wanted to kind of, you know, go out there and talk to them and just kind of say, you know, hey, how's it going? Because that's the kind of people they are. They care about everybody and their well-being. And that is the Market Basket culture that we're used to seeing and hearing. And that's not what we're hearing at the corporate office. Nobody says, how you doing today? You know, how's the family doing? It's a whole different culture at this point, where people are just walking by each other with just obscene looks, closed doors, just not welcoming. You know, I was always told if you had your arms folded that you're not welcoming. Well, that's the feeling that we have in the office. And I say we, there's a handful of people that have been subjected to fear and intimidation. It's not the whole corporate office itself, but it is people in the corporate office. It doesn't matter if it's one person or 10 people. One person affected affects more. And it needs this whole harassment and discrimination. This needs to be taken to the next level where it should be investigated properly. And that is one of the reasons why I brought it to the board to let them know what was going on. This isn't a fictitious letter. I wrote the letter. I know that there's been some PR coming out saying that, you know, Mr. DeMoulas' PR team wrote the letter, and this is another vendetta against, you know, trying to get against the shareholders. And that's not the case. The items in the letter are real. The people that were with me on Friday were people in the letter that experienced what happened. And, you know, what really got me upset was the fact that I got an email from Stephen Collins, and he said to me, or wrote to me, that we could have a meeting on August 4th. Well, that's when I received the email, so that wasn't going to happen. The next date that they had available to talk was the 18th of August. So for someone that says they take this matter seriously, why would they wait 2 weeks to go through and look into this investigation to key senior managers that are written in this letter? And that there was, you know, it was dumbfounding for me to even see that. But, you know, I did make I made an attempt, and I said, okay, let's meet on the 21st. And then when I was in the office on the 7th, Thursday, I was doing my job, and I found out that Jay Hatchigan was in the office. He was shaking hands with all the senior management on the
rare event, isn't it, Paul?
To have a very, very rare event.
Yes.
He's a lawyer too, by the way. He's a corporate, venture capital lawyer. So he's you never seen him stock on a shelf, have you, Paul or Valerie?
No, never. I don't know who he is because he never came and introduced himself to me. 35-year employee, and I didn't get a chance to shake his hand. But he went to an employee. I should say non-employee, and talked to him, and never once came to me that day and said, you know, I'm Jay Hatchigan. I am, you know, we take this matter seriously. We can't wait to talk to you on the 21st. However that may have gone down, that conversation, but that conversation never happened. And that there is utterly disrespectful to me as a 35-year associate of the company. If Mr. Demoulas had gotten that letter, that would never have happened. Not to mention he would know who I am. For someone to dismay, you know, just to put me off, like I'm just a number in the company, which you should never be. That's how I felt that day, and that's the reason.
That's the way Market Basket is now, Valerie. Don't you agree, Paul? That's the way they're going to run the place.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did to me as well. I mean, I asked to speak to someone from the board, and Michael Kettenbach decided no, he was going to get me a letter from the board instead. And they accused me of not doing my job and those types of things. And it was just completely wrong. And I'm saying to myself, how can this board sign off on this letter of suspension and they haven't even talked to me? They don't even know who I am. And let me tell you something. Valerie Pulido, I can tell you what she's done for this company. And I can tell you what Tom Gordon has done. I can tell you what Joe Schmidt's done. I can even tell you what I've done. I can't tell you anything positive that has come out of this board of directors. And it's very disturbing.
Well, they're threatening this this letter that they sent to Arthur T's lawyer today by the board's lawyer wraps up with a terse warning saying Demoulas, quote, should be made aware that the chances of any successful outcome from his perspective at a mediation are substantially diminishing with each egregious public act that my clients believe he is behind. So they're saying every time you guys come out in public like you are right now, you're making it less likely that Arthur T is ever going to get back in control.
Well, that doesn't mean we should ignore when there's problems out there, Howie. And I've known there's been these problems from when I was in the office, and Valerie gets to see it every single day. And for us to ignore it wouldn't be right. And they can make their accusations about Mr. Demoulas, and trust me, I know Valerie. She wrote the letter. She knows why she had to write the letter, because it was part of her job. And this board needs to understand that. And I don't know where the sisters are in this, but we're talking about harassment against women here. Where is Gloria Ann Farnham? You know, where is Karen Pasquale? You know, where is Francine? I know it's her son that she wants to take over the company, but how could they do this to these women in the office and have no, absolutely nothing to do as far as taking care of the issue? I mean, they should be outraged.
508, one of my texters says, tell Mr. Quigley the West Bridgewater and Raynham stores have fallen off with stockouts and boxes everywhere. It only took 5 to 6 weeks to fall off. Whoever said Market Basket was a turnkey operation was dead wrong. What do you guys think of how does it seem to be going? Or is it? I mean, I haven't been in the store since this thing started, but how is it going in the stores, Valerie?
I haven't been in them either. Is that awful? It's just because it hurts. I went in the beginning. I talked to a couple of people, and it's just disheartening the way some of the stores were just like up in the air, don't know what's going on. The uncertainty of their jobs, as people are saying, you know, well, their jobs are safe. Well, if we go back to 2014 and we see what happened there, it's anything is possible. This could happen again. So they're a little bit of fear. And so I hadn't gone back to the store because I don't know what to say to them. I don't have anything positive to say, and I would want to do that. And so that's why I kind of have been out of the stores a little bit.
Paul, do you think the volume is the same, or because again the other competing supermarket chains are so dreadful, people still want to go to Market Basket even if they want to support you guys?
Yeah, we have top notch people out there, Howie. I mean, the volume. I mean, that's not something that's going to just fall off the ledge, you know. But I can't speak for it because I've been out of the stores since July 4th, and. You know, I look at Tom and Joe being able to go into the stores over the last couple of weeks since they were terminated, and I'm envious. I mean, I miss those people too, and I understand why they're in the stores. I mean, this is part of our life. This is part of our family. And Joe and Tom have every right to go into those stores and to say hello to those people. And let me tell you, I've had so many store managers that they have visited reach out to me in text messages and phone calls saying how excited they were to see them. We can pretend that, you know, Michael Kettenbach's in charge of the company, but, You know, the people know that it's Arthur T. DeMolis that built this company, and people like Joe and Tom, they're the ones that helped build it. And I mean, it's a travesty that they would even attempt to try to keep them out of the stores.
What would you tell people? Where can people follow the latest developments? I mean, they're in the newspapers, but if you want to follow them on social media, where can they go, Valerie?
The Market Basket Way is an outlet.
Market Basket Way. 781 says in Revere Market Basket. That's one of the biggest ones there is. A lot of different faces. It has a different feel now.
Yeah. They've moved store managers in and out of there a couple times, you know, and you know, for what reason, I'm not sure. We have some people, some opportunists back at our office that are, you know, they're making these moves and transfers without Mr. DeMolis, who is still the rightful CEO. And you're going to see different faces and different places, and that'll change the culture.
I think that when you say opportunists, I think those are the people that they're going to cite as saying that they Joe Schmidt and Mr. Gordon were trying to precipitate a walkout or something. Those are the people that are going to testify. You know, it's getting nasty. Obviously, it's getting nastier, and it's really unfortunate because none of us in New England want Market Basket destroyed.
Well, Howie, even Val can tell you as well as I can tell you that there was never any talk of any type of work stoppage or walkout. And contrary to that, we had just implemented a plan from Mr. DeMolis on enhancing customer service throughout the company. And if you're enhancing customer service, why would you do that if you were planning a walkout? I mean, these attorneys that are out there that are investigating, I mean,
I don't know who they're investigating. We had brought that up. I think that, Paul had said that, no one's talked to us. I've never been spoken to. I worked with Joe Schmidt for over 20 years now, very closely. I'm kind of right underneath him, his helper, his partner. And no one asked me, have you ever heard this? I've never heard anything. And I was out in the stores a lot, doing some safety things and some harassment things. And not once did I hear, we're going to, it's going to be like 2014 again. And I never heard that,
All right, we gotta take a break. I really appreciate you guys coming into the studio, especially, and we'll be in touch. And keep us in mind whatever happens. And you can follow everything at Market Basket Way online. And thank you. Good luck, Paul and Valerie. And stay strong.
Thank you, Howie.
Thanks a lot. Imagine a scenario where you or your loved ones face a threat. Your first instinct might be to resort to lethal force, but it's crucial to consider a safer, less lethal alternative first to avoid the legal complications associated with firearms. Introducing Byrna. Byrna's less lethal pistol launcher. This device is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition and designed to incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes, providing a critical window for you to escape or get help while minimizing the risk of permanent harm. Here's a real-life account from a Byrna customer named Adam. While heading to his night shift, Adam encountered a road-raging driver who swerved dangerously, stopped abruptly, and aggressively approached him. Remaining calm, Adam dialed 911 and armed himself with his Byrna launcher. He aimed the laser at the aggressor's chest, which immediately de-escalated the situation. The driver returned to his vehicle and awaited the police. The officers confirmed that Adam's non-lethal response was perfectly judged. That night, Byrna didn't just prevent a potential tragedy, it saved two lives without causing physical harm. Byrna is legal in all 50 states, requires no background checks, and can be conveniently shipped directly to your door. Over 500,000 units sold and proudly hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit Byrna.com/Howie now for an exclusive 10% discount. That's BYRNA.com/Howie, BYRNA.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
We'll be right back with Turtle Boy to discuss the meatball emails that are coming out. And I think the ones that were released on Friday night are the tip of the iceberg. But we'll hear more from Hayden Carney, a.k.a. Turtle Boy. In just a moment, stay tuned. I'm Howie Carr.
It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. The Karen Reed trial is over, but the reverberations continue, and there's Turtle Boy, Aidan Carney, is still jammed up with some witness intimidation charges, as absurd as they are, and he is supposed this week on Wednesday he likely to get unimpounded thousands of emails and text messages between all of the McAlberts and Meatball Morrissey, the DA, and the state police, et cetera. And so on Friday night, Meatball decided to give Aidan Carney the needle by releasing a number of these emails to Channel 10, to tweak him and take away some of the surprise of having them released by Turtle Boy. And so joining us now on the line to talk about this, and also what's in the emails that have already been released, and there's some amazing stuff in there, is Aidan Carney, Turtle Boy. Thanks for being with us, Turtle Boy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Howie.
Do you agree with my analysis that he just did that to just give you a shot?
Well, you know, it's I don't know if it was his call to make. We've actually asked for these emails before. We did a public records request almost a year ago after we found out that he was using this burner email address, and we got back like a small fraction of these emails. Like, we literally asked for all this. Didn't give us anything. So they just give us what you want. Now, they gave us, you know, they... For instance, one of the things in the email was him asking Ron Mariano for $1 million.
Right, the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Because he said he needs the money to put Karen Reed in jail. You know, she's been found innocent once, not guilty, so they want to try her again. So he needs another $1 million.
Right, but he also sent an email to Karen Spilka, the Senate President, and that was not included in that, but he did send that email. I've seen it. So, like, why didn't they include that one in there too? Even with this, there's stuff that's incomplete. There's stuff that's missing. And it says in that email to Ron Mariano that he needs $1 million because I think the word is like unconventional defense. Like, oh, this poor defense team is really making us work hard for it, and we need to hire an outside prosecutor. So he spent that $1 million on Hank Brennan and Aperture, which. I mean, we saw also in the emails that Judd Welcher, the Blue Man Group guy, who was so embarrassing that he wasn't even mentioned in Hank Brennan's closing, spent billed the government $750 an hour to paint himself blue and get hit by a car going 2 miles an hour.
$750 an hour to fly in from L.A. So he got paid $3,000 to probably sit in first class and sip champagne and have a nice meal.
Right. So they paid for his flight, his hotel, I'm sure, and the time he spent on the plane, he also billed the government.
Right. I mean,
what a absolute chewing screw that they just pulled on the taxpayers of Massachusetts on this fraudulent case. Ultimately, like I said before, Lally delivered better results than Hank Brennan did. It was a resounding not guilty on all charges related to the death of John O'Keefe. They completely rejected the government's theory, so they just pissed all this money away. And Hank Brennan has taken his ball and gone home and is going to try to pretend like none of this happened, I guess.
You know, you went through the stuff that was released at Channel 10. All he seems to be concerned about is the obituary page. And Dapper in the old days in Boston, he would go to the actual wakes. You know, he'd actually put some effort into, you know, expressing his sympathy. You know, all Meatball does is just, you know, email his minions and say, send a card, send a card. And that's he sends my columns sometimes.
He loves you, Howie. I mean, I wonder what he thinks of your recent columns.
I don't think he thinks of it. We'll play that cut a little bit later. I want to get to some other stuff. He's really angry too about Andrea Campbell, the attorney general. He wanted her to indict you for witness intimidation for your rolling rally. She sends him back an extremely dismissive email that begins with the salutation, "Hi, DA." And then the rest of it is all redacted, so we don't know what she said, but I think she told him to pound sand.
Well, she must have, because, you know, we put the context clues together, because he bemoans in a later email in December of 23, he sends an email to all his minions, Lally and all these people, and Brian Tully, of course, who's on everything, and he says in the email, he bemoans the fact that she has apparently filed a lawsuit against some neo-Nazi group for doing something, God knows what. She has time for this, but she doesn't think it's witness intimidation if you protest outside of a delicatessen or go to the homes of witnesses. So he's talking about me protesting outside of D&E Pizza, which apparently is
making a face.
Delicatessen.
Yeah. Yeah, I were a delicatessen owner, I'd be filing a defamation suit against Meatball Morris comparing my place.
Well, you know, but that just shows that, you know, he was clearly, although we don't see what it says in her email, we know that he was unsatisfied about it. We know that she must have told him he complains about this, that she said it's not witness intimidation. So he goes to the state's highest law enforcement official in July of 2023, and she does not, you know, give him the answer that he's looking for. Of course, we don't see what those messages are. And then on September 3rd, 2023, there is a currently impounded text message from Michael Proctor. And this is the missing piece of the puzzle that will all make sense. What Michael Proctor says in a group text message that includes Brian Tully, Michael Morrissey, and Yuri Buchanek on September 3rd. So they get rejected by the DA's office. I mean, by the AG's
office.
And then Michael Proctor says something in a text message that's impounded on September 3rd. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, they hire Ken Mello and they charge me with felony witness intimidation. So basically, why would they want the AG to be involved? Because obviously they don't want to be seen like they're biased. Like, here I am criticizing Brian Tully and Michael Proctor and Yuri Buchanek, and it would look really bad, I think he understands that, if these same police charged me, right? And so they're like, well, let's see if we can get someone else to charge him. And no one wanted to do it. No one wanted to charge me. Nobody wanted to be the lawyer to do it. They couldn't get anyone to do it. There's other emails in there where he's trying to get lawyers to be the lawyer to prosecute me. He can't find anyone to do that. He settles for Mello, and they're like, you know what, screw it. Who cares about appearances? Let's just arrest them anyway. And that's what they've done here. This whole thing, as we've seen, and we knew the whole time, was just a farce.
How about this Matthew Farwell thing? You know, this is the guy who's charged with killing his pregnant girlfriend in Canton a year before John O'Keefe. And they ruled it a suicide, even though there were 32,000 text messages between Sandra Birchmore, the 23-year-old pregnant girl, and her married police officer boyfriend from Stoughton, and everybody knew that he was going to get arrested. The feds had been crawling all over the case for a year, and so they lug him, and Meatball, apparently, when he's not eating pizza, is watching TV all the time, and so he's getting arrested live in Revere and dragged out of his garbage truck, and Meatball says, "Is this true?" He doesn't. It's like he's surprised. How can that be?
What's going on with this? Why didn't anyone tell me this was happening? We said she committed suicide, right? That was our lie.
And according to Juna Perkins, he's still telling people that she committed suicide. He was at some city committee meeting in Quincy of the Democrat Party, and they asked him about it, and he said, "I still think she committed suicide." It's insane.
Yeah. So he finds out by watching on TV, and it's also notable that a couple weeks before that, according to a report from Ted Daniels last year, that the FBI, two FBI agents, Fanning and Trooper Dunn, who was in charge of that investigation, were brought to the medical examiner's office and they sat down with their new privately hired investigator, and they went over the autopsy of Sandra Birchmore. This is like, I think, 10 or 11 days before Matthew Farwell was arrested. So I'm sure it was discussed at that meeting that Sandra Birchmore didn't commit suicide, according to the new medical examiner. So they knew about it, yet Morrissey didn't. Morrissey somehow was kept out of the loop. He's in charge of the whole shebang in that office, and he's kept out of the loop. He doesn't know what's going on. And it's interesting because this guy, he's constantly sending emails about, like, save this, print out this article from the Boston Globe, print out this article from the Boston Herald, print this out, put it on the fridge. So he's keeping up with all this stuff. He must be aware of how he looks in the media, and he's just printing them out.
It's crazy. I want to just, we don't have much time left, but there's an amazing story. We were talking about it yesterday. There's a letter in there from this family in Revere. And their son was a hockey referee in Foxborough, and he got clocked and on camera. It went viral. This hockey player almost killed this ref, the 20-year-old ref. The hockey player was 22. And then the family is writing Morrissey a letter because he broomed the case. But we found out a little something about why the case apparently was broomed, didn't we, Turtle Boy?
Yeah, and I'm about to publish a story right after I get off the phone with you, Howie. But his father, so the hockey player that assaults the ref and nearly, you know, knocks him out in 2022 is named Paul Halloran. His father is Kenny Halloran, who is dating the sister of Maura Healey.
He's a partner, right?
Yes. In the obituary for the mother, he's listed as a partner. And he is a former state police detective lieutenant who was promoted to detective lieutenant after a 2012 incident in which he was basically caught committing overtime fraud. He was working a detail, and another trooper got his foot run over by someone in a stolen car, and they radioed him, and he was gone. He just wasn't there. And so he got promoted in spite of that happening.
He started out as a police prosecutor in the Quincy District Court of all places. Quincy. Yep. And then he became a clerk magistrate in Falmouth. He was run out of there in short order. He was run out of the board of directors of Mass Maritime Academy short order. And, you know, now, where does he work now, Turtle Boy?
Well, he's a lobbyist, so he works for Ritzenbach or Kickenbach's.
Senator Rauschenbach, not also known as Senator Henri Kickenbach, who was once indicted for conflict of interest charges. He's basically the brother-in-law of the governor, and this case got fixed for him. And as his lawyer for his son, he hired, of all people, another former state house hack by the name of Terry Kennedy, who used to be a member of the governor's council. And the one other thing, Turtle Boy, Kenny Halloran, the brother-in-law of the governor, basically, who got this case fixed, he is the nephew of a guy named Brian Halloran, who was shot down by Whitey Bulger.
That's right.
On Northern Avenue. So this is one of these 6 degrees stories. You got Karen Reed, Meatball Morrissey, Maura Healey, and Whitey Bulger all in the same story.
And Hanky Brennan, of course. You can't have Whitey Bulger without Hank Brennan.
Whitey's shadow.
I mean, it reminds me of Colin Albert, though. It's like this 20-year-old punk on the ice who gets viciously assaults a referee, does whatever he wants because he knows he can get away with it. Because ultimately, when they dropped the charges against him, they said that the reasoning they were doing it is because he's attending Suffolk and he has good grades.
He's also been elected to the Student Senate, Aiden.
And he's on the Student Senate, too. So he's allowed to be referees on the ice.
Right. It's just amazing. So you're putting up a story in TB Daily News about this?
Yeah, it'll be up in about 10 minutes.
Excellent. That's good. Yeah. This is a big story, I think. And you know what? The Globe's not going to touch this with a 100-foot pole, are they?
No. God, no. Why would they? It's interesting.
This would embarrass him. So is it still on for Wednesday with you?
Well, yeah, I mean, we know Yvonne Abraham's not going to write about it because Morris is sending her emails thanking her for the puff pieces that she's writing about him.
Right. Yeah. That's not what on his burner email. That didn't arouse her suspicions, though, about anything that the DA is writing her on.
Thank you, Mr. Morrissey. Thanks for saying nice things about me, Mr. Powerful Person. Thank you.
So you're in court on Tuesday. What time is that? Or Wednesday?
Wednesday, 2 p.m.
2 p.m. And you think we're going to get them all released?
Hopefully. I have a good feeling about it. Judge Doolin's values transparency. Hopefully he'll be do the right thing.
Excellent. Everybody check out tbdailynews.com. This is a big story. You like Hackorama? This is Hackorama at its best. Okay.
Yes,
thank
is.
You. Thank you, Turtle Boy. Aiden Carney. What is the most common question that J.J. Manning auctioneers get asked? The question is, why would someone ever auction their real estate? Why don't they just list it for sale? Well, the answer is, when you sign on with J.J. Manning auctioneers, you actually are listing your property for sale. You're listing your property for an auction sale. In a J.J. Manning auction, you bypass the exhausting negotiations and you bypass all the weasel clauses. You sell your property as is and contingency free. This means no contingencies for inspections, for financing, or for anything else that could change the deal. This is especially huge in Massachusetts, since all traditional listings will soon be required to have a home inspection before closing. For the straightforward, no-nonsense thinker, like all my listeners, auction is the most efficient way to sell your valuable real estate. In a J.J. Manning auction, you set the terms, you sell contingency free, and you pick the day it closes. J.J. Manning works with estates, businesses, families, builders, bankers, real estate brokers, and anyone who wants their real estate sold today. The waiting game is over with a J.J. Manning auction. Here are some upcoming auctions from Howie listeners. August 20th, a home in Lincoln, Mass. On almost 3 acres. August 22nd, a two-family with an in-law apartment in Somerville. September 17th, a home in the Oak Bluff section of the Vineyard. So if you have commercial, residential, or land to sell, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. Call Charlie today and mark it sold. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on X.
I've got to post a link with witty comment.
At Howie Carr Show. Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds. All online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is should the feds end home rule in D.C. and again take control of the entire city government? Yes, no, or undecided?
Yes.
90% of the audience says
it
yes.
It keeps going up.
5% say no, 5% are undecided.
All right. Someone just says, 508 says, I need a chart to understand that story you guys just presented. I know it's complicated, but if you check it out at tbdailynews.com, and you will see how outrageous it is. It's got every element of the Hackorama in it, and it'll be the biggest hack story of the month, I guarantee you, if not the year. It's just it's got everything, and it may set off a storm in the governor's office, because I guess this guy Ken Halloran and Tara Healy, you know, the sister, she's a power behind the throne, and a lot of people in the office don't like either one of them. And this may be when they see this grotesque miscarriage of justice, how it was allowed to happen, and it happened under Meatball Morrissey, and he doesn't even know it's a bad thing, because he put it out, you know, he didn't put out other stuff to Channel 10, but he put this thing out like Did he think no one could figure it out? Didn't take long to figure it out. If you know what you're looking for.